Turn to John 10:10, please. We are now beginning the last phase of what we have been learning about the kingdom. And today is the beginning of accountability. What do I mean by that? We have learned that the gospel that we have been preaching all these centuries is really not the gospel that Jesus has preached. We have learned also what the gospel is that we are to preach. And contained within that gospel are principles in which the citizens and heirs of the kingdom are required to implement and conduct themselves. And today will be the beginning of the day of accountability. By that, we know we've got the kingdom. We know we have principles. How do we live this? Right? That's what we're here for. John 10:10 says, and this is the Lord speaking, He says, the thief purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. My purpose is to give life in all its fullness. Another great quote is, the greatest tragedy in life is not a premature death, but a life lived without purpose. Miles Monroe. Why are you here at Streams? Have you ever asked that question? Why am I here? No, not me. I know why I'm here. Why are you here? Why has God placed you within Streams? Is it so that you can sit and pretend? Or is it to really learn how to be what He has created you to be? And these are questions I even asked myself today. Or actually this morning. Because you see, not only do I go through these things periodically, Peter tells me that I must make my election sure. I got to know. Without a reasonable doubt, I've got to know from God what my call is and do it. What is your conviction for being here? What is God's purpose for you being here? Is it just to show up? Or is it to be involved? These are questions you have to ask and answer with your heart. Because the purpose of the kingdom is far greater than living in existence of just living. It is far more than that. And what we do, whether we're Christians or not, is we spend a lot of our life existing. And that's the truth. We go to work to get a paycheck so that we can create maybe a life of success. And if that's your purpose, you're wrong. If your purpose is to have as many children so that we can have, like the old woman in the shoe, so many children she didn't know what to do, that may be part of God's purpose to be multiplying, but where is the fruitfulness of your life? And today's message, as we begin part 3, the kingdom series of living life applied, is the need to manage your priorities. In this fast-paced life, we seldom think about something that should be the most important thing that we should be thinking about. And that thing that we should be thinking about is a commodity that God has given to us that we neither think about, consider, but the world and everything in it is after it. Do you know what that is? Because we don't think about it, we waste it. And we spend it on our desires and what we want, not what the King of Kings wants. And He has given it to every person that is on this planet. In John 10:10, we see two purposes. One, Satan's purpose is to keep us ignorant. And in keeping us ignorant of who we are, what our purposes are, and what our dominion is essentially existing. And Jesus said, I've come to give you life in abundance. And I'm starting this off with a heavy because accountability is what's going to be mandated here. Today we're going to learn how to begin to apply, not just hear the word, but apply the word. Today we're going to understand that we are not just here to live a life of success, whatever that is, because success is relative. It is. But we're going to find out what true success is and how to live an abundant life via becoming kingdom-minded, kingdom-centered, and kingdom-activated people. The world wants to keep us feeding on the beggarly crumbs from the tree of life to sustain us, but never to accomplish that which God has purposed from the foundation. Are you with me? Are you questioning? Are you thinking about these questions that I pose to you? Because I think about them not constantly, but I think about them. What is this commodity that God has given to you and He's given to me and every person? Why is it that we don't value this commodity? What is this commodity that makes it so precious, yet it's so unusual? And I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not talking about salvation. Salvation is not a commodity, it is a gift that God gives to those who come to realize there's something more that I need in my life of where I am trying to build success is really going down the toilet with Satan hitting the flush button. And we're going, isn't this fun? We're going down the toilet. This is how the Church of Jesus Christ is living today. We live to just exist. We live without meaning, untapped to the tremendous potential that is within us, afraid to harness this commodity in realizing the birth and reality of dreams that God has set within our hearts. And so we stay in our prison cell, satisfied with the crumbs that is being dispensed by the warden, living a life on a diet of hopelessness, committing suicide by the vices of this world. And how sad it is that we waste a life that God has given to us, has deemed it precious. Can you guess what this commodity is? Time. Absolutely correct. You and I have time. The same amount of time as everyone else. What you do with your time and what I do with my time actually deems our success. It does. If I spend all my time trying to get involved in the wrong things of life that Satan wants me involved in, drugs, alcohol, promiscuous sexuality, rebellion, stealing, lying, cheating. If I spend my time, my life, I am wasting my life because none of these things will bring life. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin are death." You see, time is the most important commodity and people pay for your time. How do I know that? In every job, you're not getting paid for the work that you're doing. You're getting paid for the time of what you are doing as a job. That's the truth. And the better that you do your work, the chances are someone's going to recognize and promote you in what you're doing. Satan does not want you to do anything but waste your time. I've had people come to me and say, "Pastor, I can't see how the heck you can get so much done. I just don't understand it." And I tell them it's grace. But the truth of the matter is, I've learned to use grace in systematically using my time to prioritize what needs my attention the most. What is a priority? We've talked about this in the kingdom. Priority is first things first. What is the most important priority in your life? What's the most important priority in your life, Kev? Having sex? Drugs? Alcohol? Rock concerts? Yelling and screaming at mom and dad? What's your priority? It's something to think about. It's something to think about. Because Satan, if he can keep you ignorant of who you are and what God has deemed for you, you are becoming satisfied in the life that you have right now, which is far less than the life God has created for you and wants you to fulfill a destiny that only you can fulfill. Do you believe this? Then why are we wasting so much of this precious time? Time. We spend so much time listening to everybody else's opinions, options, chores, and we pay very little time to what God says is more important. How many of us spend at least 1 hour a month in the Word of God? How many spend an hour 1 week in the Word of God? How many spend at least 1 hour a day in the Word of God? Time. Priority. The world would tell us that Jesus Christ was the most ineffective, inefficient, unsuccessful person that ever walked the face of the earth. Why? He died a premature death. He couldn't hold down a job. He lived off the alms of other people. And he was rebellious to the social and religious systems of the time. He was unsuccessful according to the world's standards. But there is a higher standard that we forget. And that standard is the eternal standard, of which each and every one of you and I am included in. And we do not prioritize the kingdom of God first. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We spend all our time looking for the stuff to be added when we should be seeking the King and His kingdom first. What does that look like in everyday life? Men's breakfast. Who's there? Who's not there? That's a priority. Because it's men getting built up in the kingdom of God. Women's ministry. Youth ministry. People being there because they want to understand that the time I am spending there is helping me change my life so that the kingdom of God can go forth. And I'm not talking a meeting mentality. I'm talking about coming with an express purpose of something greater than myself that I can come away with, changing my life more to the kingdom and citizenship of the King that I represent and who has died and saved me so I can go and tell other people. Anything less than that makes us hypocrites. What does your life look like? If your life is still the same as it was 8 years ago, except you changed your underwear and your shirts and your pants and stuff, and your life is not being built, there is a reason why nothing's being built. And it's because you are not operating in kingdom principles. Priorities. Priorities. Does the boob tube become your priority? Does your children, which aren't your children, become your priority? Over and above what God is asking you to do. Is your husband, is your wife a priority? And hear me, I am not saying that they are less of a priority. I am saying they are not the most priority of your life. They are one of the things that take a back seat to what God is saying to the church. And the Church of America is missing it tremendously. Standards of the kingdom for Jesus was that He lived completely by faith. That He was the most effective and efficient person to walk upon the earth. He knew why He was here. He knew what His job was, and He did not waste His time, His energy, or His resources on nonsensical things. He knew what He had to do. He used His resources, His energy, and His time in the most efficient and effective way to fulfill His purpose and the prophesied destiny of what God had said. He was not influenced by what His friends, His neighbors, or even His family had to say. And because He did it by His grace, so can we. As believers in Jesus Christ, it is not enough for us to be overcomers to be successful. It is to become an overcomer and being successful at the thing that He designed you and me for. And this health, wealth, and prosperity message that is going forth is always designed to deviate you from the true course of what God has for you. The religious leaders, the rich young ruler, understood this. He thought that because he was rich, that God's blessing was on his life. And Jesus challenged him and said to him, one thing you lack. Sell all your stuff and then come follow me. And of course, he did what was asked of him. No, he didn't. He was sad and walked and left Jesus there. As believers, it's not enough for us to be overcomers and be sincere in what we're doing. Be faithful and committed to what we are doing for Jesus Christ. Because if you're not doing what He's told you to do, you are sincerely wrong. Let me give you an example. I'm the teacher. I'm going to give you a test. You walked into the classroom and I tell you, here's the paper. I hand out the papers and I tell you to read all the instructions. On the last sentence on the instructions, it tells you to answer only the even number questions. You in turn answer all the odd questions. Because after all, I'm committed to this. I can answer all this stuff. I can get all this stuff. You answer them 100%. Are you right? Do you pass the test? Why not? You didn't follow instructions. You were committed. You were sincere. But you were sincerely wrong. I love Jesus, but you fill in the blank. I love Jesus, but you don't understand, Pastor. I love Him. I'm sincere. I'm committed to all the stuff that's going on here. Jesus said, if you love Me, you'll do what I tell you to do. If you're still doing your own thing, you don't love Jesus, you love yourself. Because you're sincerely in deception that you're willingly thinking that you're on the path of success. If we do not listen to what the Master tells us to do, we are in dire straits and in jeopardy of failure. We all want to be successful. We all want to get a handle on it. We all want to do the right thing. And the key to it, being successful, is prioritizing our time. You don't understand, Pastor. I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So do I. But you don't understand, Pastor. I've got to be on the road by 6 o'clock. I've got to do this. So do I. But you don't understand, Pastor. I've got to work 13 and 14 hours a day. Yeah, and? 13 hours out of 24, that gives you 11. What do you do with that 11? Well, I sleep 8 of those hours. You got 3 hours. What else you got to do? Well, you know, I got to take care of the kids and my wife and all this other stuff. Okay. And where's God in this? Well, you just don't understand. I don't have time. No. You're not prioritizing your time. You're believing the lie. You're believing the lie that Satan tells. And it's affecting the next generation worse than our previous generation. You don't have to go to school. You can quit school. After all, you know what? You can get a good job later. But right now, it's party time. It's time to have fun. You know, education is not a big deal. Friends are all out of school. They're all hooking up, you know. Got to hook up. It's a great life, you know. Don't have to worry about that. I love this girl. I love this guy. Got to hook up. Don't have to worry about it. It's no problem. There's no problem whatsoever. Okay? You name the scenario that keeps you away from what God wants done. It's a lie. Let me read you some stats that's affecting this generation. between 14 and 19 year olds. It's an epidemic of STDs exploding upon these youth. The hookup society, which is what they are called, because it has become sexual recreation, not something that's supposed to be deemed holy between one man and one woman before God. Because of this generation, there are new strains of syphilis, gonorrhea, and herpes that are so hideous that they leave sores and create severe pains when having intercourse. Genital warts has increased 200% in just this group here. And it's now be found in the mouths and throats of young women that are practicing oral sex just so they don't get pregnant. Teenage girls who become pregnant before the age of 21 have a 1 in 4 chance of coming out of poverty than those who maintain their purity. And those young girls who have more than one child by the age of 21 have a 1 in 300 chance of coming out of poverty. Their dreams are dashed upon the rocks because the care of their children take precedent, and they live alone to raise the children without financial support of the boys who have impregnated them. And this is why we see 1.1 million abortions a year. It is a matter of conveniently eliminating the inconvenient situations. And of those young women who do go through full term to keep and raise their children, they have become trapped in poverty for the rest of their lives to live off the assistance of their family and government. Their dreams have been dashed, and so they settle for whomever will come along who wish to be the white knight and rescue the damsel in distress, creating a whole host of additional problems that move them further from God and His kingdom. That's just the teenage girls. Teenage boys who father children are more likely to abandon the girl than to step up to the plate and do the right thing. Uneducated males have a 1 in 6 chance of being incarcerated because of the drugs or related offenses. Uneducated males rarely are able to support their families with any kind of job because their earning capacity is much more than a laborer or a dishwasher. They don't have the skills required to compete in today's world labor force. They are trapped in poverty and are more likely to live a life of crime in realizing their end is an early death by the age of 30. Does this sound like abundant life that Jesus has promised us? You see, Satan wants you and me to waste time. I don't know about you, but there is an earnest within my spirit not to waste time. How I can eliminate the wasting of time is to prioritize my time. I must spend time with God. That is priority. Spending time in various ministries teaches me how to make corrections to my life, in which leads me to the path of success. It helps me to become effective and efficient in the utilization of my time, called being disciplined. What are your priorities? Are all your priorities up there before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Then Satan has done a great head job on you. He has. He's done a great job on you. I was there. I know. Is your priority only to show up out of obligation? Not because you really realize that the closest you're going to get to hell is today. and that you want your life to count for something? Or is your life one of, well, I come because my family comes and they'd be mad at me and all this other stuff. I would rather you, and I've said this to several people, go live like the heathen than to insult God with your presence of pretentiousness. He is looking for people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth, who are sold out for what He has for them. I'm not being cruel. I'm being extremely honest. Accountability for your life is going to require so much discipline, but it will set you free. We sang that song, I am free. But you know what? You're not free if you're living in sin. Because you don't have the ability to praise God for delivering you. You're not free if you're living your life by your own priorities, not allowing Him to set them for you. You are in bondage. You are not free if you're not purposing to take what has been given to you and invest it into your life so that it produces fruit, good fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Because the fruit that's being produced, God wants to cut the tree down because the fruit is bad. It's not too late. God is a God of second chances. He is a redeemer. It's up to you. In order for us to be successful, and we've heard this, got to be disciplined, got to be mentored, got to be discipled, got to get your foundations down. I can't make it any simpler than that. It's not attending a class just to write the answers to get through and say, oh, I did this. It's attending to improve your life so that you can do what God has designed you to do, because what it does is simplifies your life from all the extraneous garbage that Satan wants you to be so filled up with that you'll never accomplish what God has planned for you. And when you stand before Him, the realities of, I was sincere, I was faithful, I did this, I did that. And Jesus said, I never knew you because you didn't do what I asked you to do. That's what it's about, church. It's not playing church. It's being the church. It's being at the right place where God wants you, not where you think that you should be. Not where, you know, because someone says they're interested in this particular ministry or that particular ministry, you jump in because it's a competition. That's not of God. God wants you to be the most effective and efficient person He's created you to be, but you need to be in the right place. Think about that little example about the teacher. And make the adjustments as God tells you to. Amen? Father, I just thank You for Your Word. God, Your priorities are what should be consuming us. We need to get our lives right, God, and that's what we need to do. We need to be honest with ourselves, Lord. We need to really look at what's going on. Is Satan spending my time and wasting the time that You've given to me, God? Or am I investing that time to become the person that You have created me to be the most effective and efficient for Your kingdom's sake, God? Holy Spirit, convict us. Convict us that we may repent and begin to walk this thing to Your glory and to Your honor. Lord God, it's fun learning about the kingdom. It's fun learning about the principles. But the reality of putting them into practice into our lives, it's going to take on a different dynamic. Give us Your grace, God. Extend Your mercy to those areas where we've faltered. But most importantly, God, be patient with us. I thank You for them in Jesus' name. Amen.